Let's go out to Ohio. Cliff Schechter is kind enough to join us. The founder, president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore. Author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain. Columnist for The Daily Beast. The exceptional podcast is Unprecedented. You can find that on Patreon as well as iTunes. And he is in the midst. Our primaries aren't till next week. But not only do you actually get the fun stuff. You got a special election going on in Ohio, right?
That is correct. I'm in Cincy, but about an hour and a half north of me in Columbus, and we used to live up there. I think we would have been in this district. We've got a big race, obviously, the county recorder in Franklin County, Danny O'Connor, who's supposed to be a great candidate. I haven't met him, but I've heard great things. Just pulled ahead in the polls. We've got the enthusiasm is through the roof, as we've seen in recent elections, all in response to the Mango Mussolini, among other things. And then Balderson, of course. I mean, but between Balderson and Trump, I should say Balderson's a state senator who also has agreed to do basically anything Donald Trump asks him. And he's running for the seat on the Republican side. But I mean, within a 48-hour period of time, you had Donald Trump, insult LeBron James, which I think you can figure is not a good thing in Ohio. That you had Trump fly in and start making fun of Danny O'Connor's last name, you know, because Irish names are funny.
Uh-huh.
And that part of the state, very Irish. In fact, there's a part of that district, a town actually where Wendy's was founded, believe it or not, known as Dublin, Ohio. You can probably guess there's some Irish people there, I'm thinking.
Just a few.
And then they finish it all off by the guy standing up, because he's from one of the more rural areas of the district, standing up and saying Franklin County, which is the main major county. Of course, it's a more liberal county because it's got Columbus in it. So the right wing, the way they like to attack, I'm sure, Minneapolis up there, and they love to attack New York City and everything else. The guy said, you know, you vote now or we're gonna have to have somebody from Franklin County, you know, make sure to vote for me. We have somebody from Franklin County who we hate representing us, or something like that. Like, we'd hate to have somebody from Franklin County representing us, which is the lion's share of the district. So they're doing a really good job at pissing people off unnecessarily up there. But that's what these guys do, because they're all morons. So
Let me ask you this. Let's step away from this, because I want to get back to you point out the polls show that the Democrat all of a sudden is leading it with a few days to go here. I want to go back to the Pennsylvania poll, because I've seen a few people make the argument that they feel as if the media is distorting these polls, that the enthusiasm gap is clearly there. The Democrats are very enthused. Republicans are, you know, outside of a handful of people that show up for these Trump rallies, are not. And that, you know, when you look at these polls, it's like, oh, well, the Republicans, Republicans, Republicans. And all of a sudden, right before the election, all of a sudden these polls come out and say, wait a minute, the Democrat might actually pull this off. You know, do you think that do you think there's any merit to the question that obviously the media outlets want these races to stay closed because that's more money for them? But do you think there is that manipulation going on, or do you think it's just coincidence?
So you're saying manipulation by media outlets to kind of try to promote Republicans and that kind of thing?
And maybe not necessarily the polls being manipulated themselves. Maybe they are. But more of just the way that the narrative is being directed is that, oh, this is still the Democrats have an uphill climb, still have an uphill climb. And then all of a sudden at the very end, oh, guess what? The Democrat might actually pull off this upset. You know, it seems as if that there's almost this, hey, conservatives, we know you guys got the big checkbook. So, hey, it looks like you might win this until the very end when the reality is about to hit.
Right. Well, so I think that I don't know that that's necessarily, I feel like they're doing that to sort of promote Republicans and help them. But I think this is the same weakness in our media that affects everything. It's why Donald Trump's in office, among other reasons. It's why, the Republican Party right now is the kind of show that I can't say on your radio. It's a certain kind of show.
A crap fest.
There you go. Why don't we go with that? How can you look at this? How can you, in this district right now, Donald Trump shows up and invites Jim Jordan up on stage, who is somebody who literally looked the other way as young men at Ohio State were being molested, which, by the way, Ohio State's in a big part of this district, that area. And they still feel like they can show up and have the guy up on the stage, and then the media will report it and be like, well, there's extremists on both sides. There's the guy that looked the other way when hundreds of kids were molested, and on the left, they want to have universal health care. You know, like they can't. And it's not to say we don't have a fringy wing of nuts on, you know, of Jill Stein. I don't know. They go so far on the bend, I don't know where they end up on the other side. But we like to call it the Glenn Greenwald wing of the Democratic Party. That's insane. It exists, but they're not really Democrats in any sense. They have no power in the party. There are very few people. And to be clear, I'm not talking about people that are just very progressive, like Bernie Sanders or Ocasio, or he's not even in the party, but Ocasio-Cortez or people like that.
Wellstone,
people
yeah.
That really,
Wellstone,
yeah. I'm talking about Wellstone type. I'm talking about the people that are outright nihilists or almost on the anarchic left and really aren't Democrats. On the right, all these figures, the pedophile enablers like Moore down, you know, or pedophiles themselves in Alabama, and the people who are protecting these guys running as neo-Nazis, of which three or four at least are openly doing it in Republican, you know, as Republicans, and the rest, you know, this is the Republican Party now. You can try to like wish it was the Republican Party of Bob Dole, you know, or of Bob Michael, who was a respectable guy back in the day, or whatever, of the 80s and 90s and you know, 70s. It's not that anymore. So the problem here is that they're pretending everything, and they won't tell the honest story because every story has to have balance. If they didn't have balance, they would have stories just about Jim Jordan and the effect of the fact that people who have family members who went to Ohio State who probably still live around there know that this guy was covering up for a pedophile. Mm-hmm. If they weren't doing that, they would admit that the former House Speaker of Ohio it had to resign, is now under investigation for illegal contributions and frankly, flights and all sorts of things from the damn predatory lenders in this state, who payday lenders who he basically helped out and did their dirty work. If they weren't, you know, if it weren't covering up, they'd be talking about ECOT. You may know that too. The major ridiculous online school scandal here, where every Republican running for state office right now has taken money from them, kept closing their eyes, looking the other way as these guys criminally built our tax system. They even gave them awards for things. Showed up at these things again. The guy running who's the auditor right now, David Yost, who's running for attorney general, showed up to give these guys awards while they were ripping off and losing millions of dollars in this fake charter school garbage they were pulling up. These guys knew it and they ignored it. There is no narrative where the Democratic Party in this state has done anything close to the Republican Party or nationally. But when they tell these stories the way they do, you're right. Like they can't seem to if you throw anything into it within partisanship, it has to be 50-50. They can't grasp that one party is off the rails and filled with all sorts of scary and really obnoxious and dangerous characters. And so that's how they're helping Balderson, because they keep saying, oh, it's going to be close, because they're looking at the way the Republican Party was 15 or 20 years ago and not what it's made of today. And it's not to say that Balderson isn't going to win. It's not to say I think O'Connor's going to pull it out on the Democratic side. But the way they cover it, you know, they cover the Republican Party like it's a normal entity. And that gives license to people who would look at this party if they knew everything and everything was being repeated about them constantly, what they're doing, and would never vote for them. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, I don't know if that's the long answer to your question, but that's the problem. And that's the problem with all media.
An outstanding answer as well. This is yet the latest example of Republicans embracing Trump, hoping that this is the time that it breaks a trend. I was looking at 538 earlier today, and outside of races, which are really Republican districts, one in Utah, one in Texas, I mean, most of these districts are 17, 18 point swings. You're bringing Trump in. As you said, he's been a buffoon himself. Do you think this whole, did he just misread the situation completely when he went after LeBron James? Was that just an attempt by him to try to, LeBron James just left Cleveland to go to the Lakers. Everyone in Ohio hates him, so I'll bash on him and everyone will love me. Obviously it did feed into Trump's undeniable racism, but was that the purpose of the attack, to try to endear himself to Ohioans?
I don't know, but I don't, you know, I think you may be giving him too much credit for actually doing something called thinking. I don't think that there's, you know, he's naturally a unbelievable racist and he's a terrible person.
Yes.
You know, so when somebody is criticizing him on TV, it's all about him, what LeBron James does or any of that stuff. You know, the way other politicians react to that stuff, even ones we really didn't like, George W. Bush comes to mind. It's all personal. Nothing else matters, which is how you know he's betraying this country in a million different ways, whether it's Russia or anything else, because he always comes first. His bank account comes first. His ego comes first. So the answer, you know, it's always the same. So when it comes to this district, I think he just saw a famous basketball player ripping into him on TV and he responded by insulting him. I don't think he thought at all about where he was from or anything. And it was a famous basketball player who was black talking to a black CNN host. And that makes it even worse.
Yeah. Oh, he hates Lemon too. He hates Don Lemon over on CNN.
Yep. So I think he hates, you know, he can't stand them to begin with, but he never thinks this stuff out. Just the way, you know, if you were strategic and everything wasn't about your stupid ego, you'd think to yourself, who should I be sending into the 12th district? I'm underwater there right now. His polling is better than it is in the country overall because some of the rural areas, but he's at 46 approved, 49 disapproved. He won the district by 11 points. So clearly, he's going in a massively negative direction in this area, particularly with affluent voters in parts of the Columbus suburbs. You've got a Democratic base jazzed up to turn out. If he at all were trying to be objective, and it wasn't just ego, if he were, again, Obama, Clinton, either of the Bushes, Reagan, name any politician on any side, he'd look at it and say, that's probably not a smart place for me to go. Because I'm just going to excite the other side to come out that much more. And there's voters here leaning against me, and knowing how I get up and ramble on about stuff, you know, I'm going to probably say some things that will offend them. My numbers are underwater. This doesn't make sense. But it doesn't matter. He doesn't ever think that deeply, because it's all about his ego, and he needs more people to tell him how much they love him, how great he is, you know, how great his fake spray tan is, and that bowling ball for a belly he has, and everything else he's got going on there. So, you know. He's out there being his cheesy self, and I think it just helps us. I think his showing up. I mean, there are other people there. I don't know Pence's numbers there, but Pence is a much quieter fascist, as we know. Mm-hmm. So good chance that Pence actually has good numbers there and made sense to send him there, or send Ivanka, because most people don't understand the role she plays. I'm sure she's got positive numbers. There's all sorts of people they could have sent that you and I can't stand, but we would admit would be strategically smart. But his going there is not. But that doesn't matter to him.
Your opinion, I mean, this is a district. Ohio 12 is not exactly, you know, generally Democratic-friendly territory. Right. This has been, I think what they say, in the last 92 years, the Democrats won once. So this is not a district that they're going to be able to pick up. Do you think that O'Connor's going to win this, that the Democrats going to win in Ohio 12 tonight?
I do. Okay. And I think, again, because the two reasons I said, there are a lot of former lean Trump voters who voted for him because they thought Hillary was the worst option because they get all their news from Fox News, and we talk about that forever, but that kind of thing. And now they've seen him in action or disgusted enough they think there needs to be a check on him. I've heard that. I've seen numerous reports of people talking about that. Polling I've seen says the same thing. So you're losing suburban women, college educated men and women in a bunch of these wealthy suburbs. And then you're jazzing the Democratic base to turn out. You're doing both those things at the same time. So no, you know, this is a district that has been a conservative district. The wealthy suburbs were always Republican in the past. You know, John Kasich represented this district, at least a big part of it. Then Pat Tiberi, who's sort of a center right guy, who you know, was a respectable as Republicans get, let's just say. And you know, they chose to gerrymander it like crazy after that and make sure that they added, it was a plus three or something Republican district. They turned into a plus 10 or 11 or something. So they added in all the rural areas. So there's just no way a Democrat should be able to win there. But again, there's no way a Democrat should be able to win in Alabama. There's no way a Democrat should have been able to win in that district in Pennsylvania. In a bunch of local races and others around the country, there have been Democrats winning all over the place where they shouldn't win.
Well,
you know, state, Senate, and House districts in places like Oklahoma. So, you know.
What was the margin last election cycle?
Trump, I think, was plus 11 there. Tiberi, I mean, I'm sure he was an incumbent and he was well liked. I don't even know. My guess is that's a 25 point or something like that spread.
Well, this goes to the Democrats. This is the repercussions of this one. I mean, especially we're in August now. We're getting close to November. The repercussions are going to hit that your brand is destroyed. Your gerrymandering doesn't work anymore. That you either have to run away from Trump, which is going to alienate your base, and you're not going to be able to swing Democrat voters to you, or you embrace Trump and ensure you die a much slower death. This race, I mean, I know a lot of people are saying you don't want to put too much in one race, but we've just seen these numbers get larger and larger. And if this was, as you just said, a 20-25 point win the last time for a Republican, and this goes to the Democrat, there isn't a district outside of Utah that's not up for grabs this election cycle.
Even one of the districts in Utah is considered a toss-up right now. No, you're right. I mean, this does a couple things if Danny O'Connor can pull this off. First of all, you've now got Pennsylvania and Ohio, and you know how that works with the media on the East Coast. That just is like, all right, they speak for all swing states, right? So you're going to see these two races where Democrats won in places they shouldn't have won, and that's going to affect the narrative in a huge way. That's the first thing that this does. Second of all, you know, we've got people in districts like this all around the country. You do. Isn't Paulson, or I don't remember who it is up there, but you've got one or two suburban Minneapolis districts, the one here in Cincinnati where I'm working on a independent project pointing out Steve Chabot, our incumbent here, his healthcare record, which is atrocious in voting for these bills. He's, you know, he's another one who now is in danger of losing, who should never have been, it shouldn't have been close. And now he's in that's a toss-up. So you start seeing these suburban districts around the country. I mean, they just turned the one in the Lexington area with that veteran who's awesome, Amy McGrath, You know, that's another district like this. It's a one where they've purposely put a city in with the suburbs and exurbs to dilute the impact of the city and split it up. That's just how they've gerrymandered all across the Midwest and a lot of the rest of the country. And she just, that race, and just in addition to a race in, around Dallas with Pete Sessions, those were just moved to toss-up yesterday by roll call. So you see in these urban, suburban, you know, kind of districts that bring in the exurbs too, that these should have been gimmies because of the way they gerrymandered them. And they're not. And yes, I think this will say a lot, not just about the Midwest, but the rest of the country. I mean, again, you never know from one day to the next, crazy things happen, you know, wars happen. We don't trust the guy in power and what he could do. But right now, with the way things are headed, the only thing that's keeping him holding on is an economy. It's now been almost a record long time of expansion. And with his trade policies and the rest, that's bound to come crashing down on us too, sadly. I think they're going to be in very bad shape come 2018 unless they change something big.
20 stocks are basically holding the stock market up. That's it right now. Looking really quick, though, Jim Jordan, last topic here. We got about a few minutes, but I did want to make sure I touch on this. How
is G-Y-M Jordan?
How is this guy still in office? I mean, when Al Franken had allegations against him, you had every media outlet was asking every Democrat, should he resign? Should he resign? And I mean, every Republican was hammering out, how dare you have someone with allegations like this? There seems to be enough evidence against Jordan and his misguided nature of what happened with that Ohio State wrestling program that he should be gone. How in the world is he not only not gone, but he's actually being put into contention for a speaker position?
Right. Well, I mean, again, like that should tell you how broken this whole thing is, that, you know, again, it's a much longer conversation. We talk about it a lot on Unprecedented on the podcast. But I mean, you know, they have created a pipeline on the right where they can pressure the mainstream media, as we're just saying, give them balance they don't deserve. And they can feed people directly their version of reality. You don't need even InfoWars. All you need is Fox News, Breitbart, you know, and even the so-called intellectual journals have given in. And so, you know, I'm sure they've been told the whole thing's a fake and it's a liberal media conspiracy. And it's a dangerous place for a democracy because the truth is these guys don't, the accountability would only come from voters, and they're in gerrymandered districts. Jordan is. Now, hopefully he still loses because this is enough. It reminds me of Roy Moore in Alabama, who is just enough to beat him. But I mean, you know, that's what we're dealing with, because it's not just Jim Jordan. I mean, how about what came out about Wilbur Ross today? You know, stealing $120 million. I mean, it's, you know, how about Scott Pruitt? And how about, you know, the number of these guys who had to resign because of sexual, you brought up Franken for the minuscule, I would say, things he did, right? You know, compare that to Blake Farthenfold and some of these guys, you know, who had to resign. I mean, you know, and they only did when people thought, oh my God, they're in a district where maybe there's a situation where they could lose. Or at that moment, it's somebody in power wanted to push them aside. You know, it wasn't for the right reasons, and Jordan is proof of it. He's running for speaker. He's been endorsed by all these right-wing groups. He'll get huge support from these guys, and they'll ignore this, which tells you it's not a functioning party anymore in any real sense. It's not an organization meant to elect the best people to push forward, like, you know, your version of policy. I mean, call it what you will. It's a cult. It's a criminal organization. But, I mean, if Jim Jordan were some glaring exception— But what, two House speakers ago, they had a pedophile in there? Mm-hmm. They've never paid any price for that.
No, they've not.
You know what I mean? They haven't paid any price for Donald Trump sitting where he's sitting. Not yet, anyhow. You know, except for a few elections they've lost. I mean, you know, that Roy Moore could become their nominee. I mean, this goes on and on. Like, what can you say about them anymore? But they're not like a functioning, open, transparent sort of political party in the sense of what we knew it to be, because there's just nobody controls anything there anymore. There's no establishment. There's nothing.
Well, and they said they'd rather die with bad candidates. Well, they shall. That's the way of the Whigs.
Well, those guys that wore that T-shirt about they'd rather be in Russia than be Democrats, and I'd like to raise the money to send them there.
I think they should. Head on over. Enjoy your new despot. Cliff Schechter, once again, if you'd like to hear what you just heard, only with lots of swear words, well, Cliff Schechter has got the deal for you. Unprecedented, the podcast. It is exceptional. Go subscribe. I'll put a link to Patreon and the subscription. It's what the cool kids do. You can go listen to Cliff on Unprecedented, the podcast. You can find that on Patreon and, of course, iTunes. Cliff, thank you very much. All my best, and let's hope the Democrat gets the win today.
Let's hope so. Thanks so much for having me on, buddy. I appreciate it.